Okay, good. So now we move to Shoftim. And now Shoftim is the opposite. Shoftim tells us what happens, right? The seeds that were planted in Yehoshua, which is, yes, idyllic, but, you know, plants the seeds for the disaster is, well, the Jews don't actually kick out the nations of the land, and that is going to create an utter disaster. So we get a story that appears both in Yehoshua and then is repeated in Shoftim, which is the story of the conquest of Hebron, right? This is a story that repeats itself. Who does Hebron belong to? Kalev. 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 Not nowadays. Kalev. It belongs to Kalev. Right? So Kalev gets it, but part of his Yerusha, he says, look, anyone who can conquer the rest of my land goes to, can marry my daughter. So who marries his daughter? Othniel ben Kenaz, who is his nephew.
None of us know the information at this point.
What?
I don't think a lot of us know the information. At least I don't know the information.
Yeah, I'm with Yosef.
What?
I'm with
Yosef. Okay.
I've heard of
Othniel. Okay, I'm telling you the beginning of Shoftim. I'm telling you the beginning of Shoftim. Okay? So, okay, let's go to Shoftim for a second. Then open up Shoftim.
This is the point in Tanakh where everyone...
Oh, God. Oh. Okay, fine. Guys. Okay, look. So, Shoftim does a little bit, just to highlight the point, that Shoftim is picking up, not after Yehoshua, but is picking up on the hidden elements of Yehoshua. Right? Yehoshua, Shoftim picks up in the middle of Yehoshua. Right? Like it backtracks. What?
That's why it starts off by the offering.
Well... No, it's Vahi. No. It picks up after the death, but the storyline jumps back, right? It's Vahi Achrei Mot Yehoshua Veshalub Ben Israel Banai Lemor Miel Elanu El Kanani Batchila Lechem Bavo Yom Radanai Yudo Yalev Hine Natati Arts Biado. So, I mean, we jump back. There's a little bit of overlap. It's not total, but we one second. Yeah.
Where
in Joel right now? Perek Aleph, Pasuk 1:1. Right at the beginning. So they say, okay, who should continue conquering the land? But didn't we already do that? So no, clearly we're, even though Yeshua, right, meaning Yeshua, right, makes it seem as if we fully conquered the land, right? But it's overgeneralizing, right? And you see that, because in Shoftim, we now jump back, we're still actually in the middle, like, what did Yeshua do? Right, this is where you have to realize, what did Yeshua actually accomplish? He divided up, he did the basic battles, and he conquered up the, he divided up the territories, but then what did he do in the middle of Yeshua?
Talks about how he conquered the land.
No. But what does it mean he conquered?
No. Book.
No, what does it mean? What did he do? He conquered it enough that he could divide the land. Think about it. Think about how you do this. No, Yosef, think about it. You have a whole country to conquer. So what do? As a national army, you win the major battles so that the major armies are subdued. And then what can you do? You divide up the Shvatim and say, deal with each of your territories by yourself. Why do I have to wait? Right, I don't have to drag the national army through the whole country. Right, once we've subdued the major kings, so now it's up to each Shevet to polish things off. Right, that's where we are. Yeah. Right, meaning he's successful at that.
Wait, so did the 7 years of conquering and dividing is over already, but they didn't actually conquer everybody?
Correct. I mean, what they've done is they've basically divided everything up. But now, so and that's why Shoftim opened up. Yehoshua's dead, right? And now what is the first thing they have to do? They're still asking, okay, so now we have, you know, we need to have pitched battles in areas. Who's going to go? And just like we found out in the middle of Yehoshua, who's the only responsible Shevet who's going to go? Yehuda. Right? This is like a theme.
Wait,
right?
In Yehoshua this also came up?
Yes. I like ran through it, but I'm telling you, in the middle of Yehoshua this happens also. Okay. Right? If you want to go back, right, you want to go back and see where this happens in Yehoshua. So if you go back to Perek Yudalit in Yehoshua, right, you get this is the division, right? And then in Pasuk Vav, you get right? Yehuda comes to Yehoshua and says, okay, you've given us our land now. Look, this is what we're going to do, right? Remember, you promised Hebron specifically to Kalev, so Kalev gets together his own army, right, and conquers his own territory. And then you get in Pasuk in Perek Tedvav, you get the the Goral of Bnei Yehuda, and then you get that they actually conquer, right, their land, and then pick Tet Zion. You get that Yosef does a decent amount of conquering, but then after that, you get that everyone is, right, I mean, like, look, for example, Perek Yud Zion, Pasuk Yud Bet, Yosef is trying, but Velo Yachlu Bnei Moshe Lo Rishit HaRema Eila, Vayolah Kanani Lashav Baretz Azot. Menashe just couldn't pull it off. So there are a bunch of Kanani that were left there, and then as it goes on, it gets worse because everybody else doesn't even bother. Everyone else just, you know, conquers enough that they need to settle, and the rest of it they just
What was exactly the problem?
These weren't strong.
Yeah, they weren't strong. For Menashe, no, that's why I said it's 1.5 Shvatim do what they're supposed to. Right?
They said Ephraim's going to be the bolder one.
What?
It doesn't work. Right? Yehuda conquers everybody, and no one else does. Yosef tries. They conquer a decent amount. Right? They can't do everybody, but it's not their fault. Tanakh doesn't blame them. The rest of Klal Yisrael gets blamed for just saying, look, we're happy. We found, you know, we founded our major city. What?
Weren't they all supposed to do it together?
So no, that's apparently not what's supposed to happen.
And this is right. Even Yoshua when they first come in.
Correct. Meaning Yoshua divides it up. I mean, Yoshua divides it up, and then you may just say, okay, what are we supposed to do now?
What happened in the 7 years of conquering?
They deal with the major battles, right? But there's still a bunch of people. You know how long it takes to get every single person on the... Remember, what does God say in Mishpatim, this week's Parsha?
This is a lot of
things. Lo Argashenu. I'm not going to get rid of them all at once. I'm going to get rid of them slowly. So that the animals don't take over. So yeah, they pitch the major battles. They get rid of the major enemies enough that each Shevet should basically be able to handle it themselves. And then slowly, they'll kick everybody out. Yehuda does it. Yosef tries. And then nobody else really cares enough. And that's what you find out in Yoshua. You pick up and shoft him. And right, that's what's happening. The Jews come to God and they say, okay, well, we got a few battles left. Now again, they may have sometimes... It sounds like they sometimes did get the Shvatim together. Right, because all of Klal Yisrael is saying, who should lead us, says Yehuda. But it's like, okay, if we need a national army, we'll temporarily call it together. But the major battles happen in Yoshua. And then what's left is like local battles. Okay? And that sounds what's going on. So you get this story again of Yehuda. You get the repeat of the story of Kalev. Right? This is literally a repeated story. It appears both almost identically in Yoshua and Shoftim. That after Kalev does his own battling, he offers his daughter in marriage to whoever helps him finish the process. Asniel ben Kenaz, who's his nephew, I believe. It's his nephew or step. I think it's his nephew. Ends up marrying his daughter. And that is the first shofi. Okay? But now everything is terrible.
That was terrible.
What?
Last one. Yehuda is the one who starts out in Shoftim doing battle, and he's also the one who, in Yeshua...
Yes. Actually conquers his whole land, yes.
So this is actually conquering the whole land, back in Yeshua. This now in Shoftim.
So I don't know if Yeshua is, like, predicting... Right? I mean, there's an overlap, so it's not clear, like, is Yeshua just, like, telling you what happens in the future, right? Or is Shoftim doing a little bit of a flashback, right? Right, it's the same story, right, clearly, because you have the same Kalev story. It's not like, right. It's clear it's the same story. The question of when exactly it happened is not clear,
Kalev
right?
Kalev.
You know, Yehuda. Yehuda. What? He's alive, Yeshua isn't, I don't know. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's the introduction. Now, Shoftim is unlike Yeshua, though. As I said, in Yoshua, the only thing that's bad is we hear that they don't manage to fully conquer the nations. But the trouble doesn't happen yet in Yoshua, but it does happen royally in Shoftim. Right? Great. So in Shoftim, what is the theme of the entire book? What happens in the whole book? Good. There's the Shoftim cycle. Right? The Shoftim cycle. What's the Shoftim cycle?
They sin, Shofet comes and do good.
Sin, punishment,
Shofet,
right? Cry out and tshuva, right? Shofet saves them. Quiet
dies,
right? Dies, sin.
Right? How do I now? This goes now. This happens over and over again with every shofet, and then at the end, how does shoftim end? With utter disaster, because after localized sin, it only gets worse. Because at the end of the book, we find out that you have what? Pesel Micha, right? Pesel Micha. What's Pesel Micha?
I don't know.
Pesel Micha is, you find out that there is a dialogist temple in of this guy named Micha, right? Which at some point that Don, in the middle of their conquest, decide to take it over and steal his priest, right? And make their own idolatrous cult, right? With this Levi who decided to be a Kohen, which according to Chazal is Moshe's grandson, right? And there's like this mess. It's like, it's not just idolatry. Like people are stealing stealing idolatrous priests to make their own cults. It's like, it's just, it's an utter disaster. You get Pelegish Begiva. What's Pelegish Begiva? Right, Pelegish Begiva, right, is what? You have a guy, he's a Levi, he has a Pelegish, he has a concubine, she leaves him, she goes home, he goes and picks her up, they're walking by, they decide that instead of staying in a non-Jewish city, they stay in a Jewish city, and what happens in the Jewish city? No one takes them in at night, sounds like Stone,
yeah,
Lot and Stone, and then what happens? Someone eventually lets them in, but only the man, right? The Pelegish is thrown out to the masses who come and don't want, you know, the guests there. They gang rape her until she dies. In the morning, he comes out, he takes the dead body of his Pelegish, cuts it up, sends it to the 12 Shvatim of Klal Yisrael, and they wage war and they annihilate Binyamin, leaving only a few hundred people left to Binyamin. Right? After several battles in which Klal Yisrael loses, right? But then they eventually win. There's only a few hundred people left. So what do? They make a shvua that no one will ever marry into Binyamin, which is bad because they don't actually want Binyamin to die. So then they go, they find out that there was one family who didn't bother showing up to this national convention. So what do? No, they massacre all the men and then force the women to marry Binyamin. Right? What? It's like, no, the end of, like, Shoftim is just chaos. Right? It's utter chaos.
Remember those went to Shiloh when they told the story in the
It's film? Chaos. Whoa.
Theater.
Okay. Now,
like, yeah,
now there's a few things I want you to know about Shoftim, though, okay? This is like Shoftim in a nutshell. It is a horror show. Okay, first of all, how do I know that this is the cycle? Did I just make this up?
It says it. Shoftim every time. I don't know.
Perek Bet. Perek Bet of Shoftim.
Come on, Ellie.
Vayal malach Adonai min ha-Gilgal el ha-Bochim. The messenger, or the angel of God, not clear, came to Bochim. Vayomer. And he said, Vayomer, aletchem mi-Mitzrayim, va-vietchem al-aretz asher nishbatim adichem amar lo afer briti itchem le-olam. He says, listen, guys, I took you out of Egypt, I took you here, and I said that I will always keep my covenant with you. Va'atem, you got to do one thing. What do you got to do? I told you, do one thing. Don't make covenants with the nations of the world. Destroy their Avodah Zarah. Don't leave them around. What are you doing? Literally. What have you done, people? Right? Look around you. And I told you, if you don't drive them out, I'm not going to do it for you, then they're going to become a thorn in your side, and their idols are going to be a trap for you. So they cry. Good, so now you think, right? And now you think that that they all did tshuva. Except skip down to Pasuk Yud. The Gam Kol Adaru Nesru Al Avotav. Vayakom Dor Acher Achreihem. After that good generation, you know, that didn't sin. Asher Lo Yadu Et Hashem V'Gam Maaseh Asher Asal Yisrael. After those idyllic generations, then suddenly they start worshiping idols. They follow other gods from the nations around them, and they get make God angry. And then Pasuk Yudalet, Vayicharaf Adonai b'Yisrael, Vayiknem b'Yashosim, Vayishosotam, Vayimkarem b'Yaravim, Yisavim, Vayichlu od lamod b'lefnei avihem. So God sells them down the river to their enemies. Right? B'chol asher yatsu yadonai aitabam l'ra'ak asher diber adonai v'kadishba adonai lem v'yatzer lem ba'od, which is what God promised. And then what happens? Vayakom adonai shoftim, Vayishem yachosayim. Right? But then they eventually cry, they get shoftim, and then what happens? But they don't listen to Shoftim. They would be with God the whole time, the Shofet, because God cried to them, and then it would happen again. When the Shofet would die, they would do it again. Right? Meaning, this is not me, right? It's like
it's a literal circle.
It's not just me. Literally, the Tanakh tells you this is what happens: sin, punishment, tshuva, shofet, quiet, dies, sin again, punishment, cry, shofet, quiet, sin, over and over and over and over and over again. Except not. Except not, and this is the key that this everybody will tell you. If they've ever read Perek Bet of Shoftim. Except, it's not true. It's not true. This describes only half of Shoftim. Because you know what happens in the middle of Shoftim?
It's not coming.
Yeah, I wish it got good. No, it gets worse. It gets worse. When? So turn to Perek Yud. Look at Perek Yud. Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud. Right, everyone will tell you that this is the summary of Shoftim, but it's a lie. This is the summary of the first 9 prakim of Shoftim. And then in Perek Yud, it gets worse. Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud. Vayizaku b'nei Yisrael el Adonai le'mor, chatanu lach chiyazavnu et elohinu v'navodet abalim. So where are we? Here, we're crying. They cry to God and they say, "Oy, we sinned, we did avodah zarah, help us." Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud. Right? Again, Vayizaku b'nei Yisrael Adonai le'mor, chatanu lach, v'chiyazavnu Eloheinu v'navodet abalim. Right? We've sinned. We worshiped avodah zarah, chatanu, great. And what happens?
He doesn't get a show fee.
Vayomer Adonai el Bnei Yisrael, halom mi Mitzrayim, umin ha'emori, umin bnei Amod, umin ha'plishtim. God says, I can't handle this. I have saved you from Mitzrayim, and from the Emori, and from Amon, and the Plishtim, v'tzidonim, v'amalek, u'ma'on la'chatzul adchem, v'tzitzaku elai, v'oshiyetchem yadam. This happens all the time, and each time you scream to me, and I've saved you every time. I am so sick of this. I am so sick. V'atem azavtem oti. And what do? You left me. V'tavdu Elohim acherim. And you worship other gods. Lochein lo osif lo shia etchem. No more. No more. Right? No more. I'm done.
That was very dramatic.
Right? No more. No more shofet. No more saving. And he goes farther. He says, "Lichu, v'zaku el Elohim asher bachartem bam, himashir lechem beitzartem." Go call the idols. Let them save you. Right? Vayomru v'nei Yisrael el Adonai chatanu asay atalanu kachol ato v'necha achatzilenu na hayom azel. He said, "Whoa, whoa, please, God, don't do that. Right? Whatever you want, do whatever you want. Just save us today." So they got rid of the idols. And what does it say? God couldn't handle the suffering. So what does he do? Does he save them?
Sort of.
No. Well, he does, except what happens starting in Parakut Aleph? Vayiftach ha-giladi ha-yad gibor chayel v'lishab zonah v'yaled gilad ha-yiftach. We get a shofet, except what's different? God doesn't appoint him. Right, the latter half of Shoftim, the reason it gets worse, the first half of Shoftim, this is what people don't realize, the first half of Shoftim is this cycle. But all the Shoftim, at least, are tzaddikim, because they're appointed by God. And therefore they're great people. Yiftach, starting in the middle, it's not, it's serious. People don't believe this. Because what do? They read this pasuk, and they say, oh, God relented. He didn't relent. It never says that he saved them. It never said he appointed a Shoftim. We find Shoftim. But what's the difference between the Shoftim in the first half of the book and the Shoftim in the second half of the book?
These ones are bombs.
Yeah, these ones are... Yes. They're pretty bad. Right? Yiftach. Bill, because think about it. So now let me summarize for you. Let's go through this a little bit. Yiftach. First thing we find out is that... He's the son of a prostitute. Right. First fact. Great. Then, Yiftach is kicked out by his brothers... Because he's the son of a prostitute. But then they realize they need him because he's become a very successful gang, basically a mobster, right? He has, all these, rejects of society. He's built, a successful, army of vagabonds or whatever, this mob out there. So they come to him and they say, do me a favor, come and become general. And he says, so what does he say?
No.
No, he says, you hate me. Why am I doing this? Right? So then they say, look, we'll make you leader. He says, okay, I can buy that. Right? You want to make me leader? We'll deal with this. And then he carries out this interesting, successful debate with the king of Ammon, and then he ends up fighting them. I've oversimplified. There is actually one bad leader earlier than that, which is Gilad's son, Avimelech. He has a good son and a bad son. Avimelech kills all his brothers. Pretty bad there also. It's not perfect, but this is where it really gets bad, right? This is where it really gets bad.
What? Bad.
Even when it's good, it's not so good. Yeah.
I mean, look, Avimelech's not a son of a prostitute with mom.
But it gets worse. It gets worse.
How about Slakewood?
Yeah.
If all Bereshis is about how... why the Jews are the chosen people? This wasn't part of the plan.
Oh God, no. Yeah. Why do we stay? Because we're chosen.
But why are we chosen?
Oh, that's a good question. Because and that is, we have to wait till Yeshayahu.
And that moment,
right? You have to wait till Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu. Okay. But anyways. Now.
Are we gonna get there?
I mean, eventually. Yes. I don't know if today. I don't know if we'll do it today. Right? We'll do this at some other point. Okay. Whoa, one second.
All right, let's go.
Now, in the meantime, how bad does it get with Yiftach? So far, okay, he's a mobster, he's the son of a prostitute. How bad could it be? And the answer is? Oh, really bad. Why is it so bad?
He doesn't kill his
daughter.
Oh, I wish that was all that happened. What does he do?
What has he done so far?
That's good. Oh, so he does win a battle against Ammon.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. He does win against Ammon. But then, what does he do when he's finished fighting Ammon?
I see a civil war.
Oh, yes. Perek Yud Bet, civil war. Because Ephraim comes to him, and they say to him, why'd you fight Ammon without us? And you know what he does?
What?
He massacres Ephraim. And you know what he does? Whoa.
Do that.
And then, you know what happens? Okay. This is one of those insane moments. You know what he does? He sends his soldiers, because if I remember, they're on two sides of the river. So Ephraim now is trying to run home, back to the west side, right, to the west bank of the river, of the Yarden. He sends his soldiers to the bridges. And you know what he does?
Language tests them.
Because as they walk through, he wants to catch every last person. So what does he do? He asks them to say the word? Shibboleth. And the people from Ephraim couldn't say shin, they could say sin, they said sibolet. And if the stragglers who managed to escape the original massacre got to get to the bridge they would have a language test, and then when they would say Sibolet, he killed them. Right? So, oh, it's great. Yiftach is wonderful. He wins the war. He wins the war against Ammon, and then what does he do? He massacres his own people and carries out this sadistic language test. Right?
They died for their sin.
Who's the next leader? Well, guys. The next leader is very promising. Who's the next leader? He's very promising.
Ibzan.
What? Okay, we have Ibzan. Yes, you have Ibzan. The next major leader. We have a few small ones. We have Ibzan from Beit Lechem, who Chazal say might be Boaz. Then we have Elon Hazvuloni. And then we have Yisrael Avdon Ben Hillel Paratoni. Right? Paratoni.
What exactly is, how do you categorize a shofet?
Political leader.
Political leader?
Political leader.
Of, how much of, this...
Oh.
Okay.
Not clear. The pashtus is not national. Right, the pashtus,
all shoftim or just the shoftim that were not appointed?
No, the pashtus is all shoftim were not national. There are certain shoftim that sound like they are more national than others, but even like Dvora, right, who's much more national, she has several shvatim behind her. You hear that she only has a few shvatim and many of the shvatim ignore her.
We don't have a We'll
get to that. We're not there yet.
So we don't have a king. We're not there yet or we don't have a king?
We're not there yet. Well, we're going to get to that. That's the end of Shoftim. 1 second. Right? Then we have Shimshon. Now, Shimshon is very promising because there's Nevuah saying, you are the chosen one. You will be a Nazir from birth. Right? Except, it's very promising. Then what does he do? Yeah, he goes, he marries a non-Jew, then he goes and marries another non-Jew.
Wait, isn't this one same lady who keeps asking him how to...
No, he sleeps with different, marries more than one non-Jew. He intermarries more than once. Right? More than once. Different women.
Yeah, wasn't it not settled exactly what the laws of married non-Jews were at this point?
That may be true, but the Psukim say that his parents were really upset about it. They just didn't know it was part of God's plan, but it clearly wasn't looked favorably upon because his parents were really upset, right? So Usher, I don't know what's going on, converted, not converted, doesn't work out well, right? And by the time he gets to his second wife, she pressures him, right? He eventually reveals his secret, gets captured, right? And by the Plishtim, and in his final moments, is given back his strength, and he pulls down the house on top of him. That's right? Great.
Yeah.
Not exactly. He's like a powerful leader.
Wait. Sorry. Again, just I'm trying to get the landscape. At this point, that's Canaan he's fighting against.
That's Plishtim.
Plishtim. Sorry. So
there's different nations in different Bukim. For Shimshon, it's Plishtim. What?
I thought most of the main.
Nope, because we left them for a long time.
They grew back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
no, no, we were. No, so remember, these are different. So pashtus, these are happening to different shvatim, right? Meaning we basically have the land, but yeah, there's these incursions, right, at different places with different levels of strength. We don't know exactly, but yes, right. We don't have any strong, right, strong sovereignty. We have some sort of sovereignty, probably. Then we get this nightmare story of Pesel Micha, right? That was what I told you. That was the idol story, right? The national idol with Don coming and stealing the Ovid Avodah Zarah, right? Moshe's grandson, all that, right? And then we get Pelegish Begiva and civil war and nightmares, right? No, none. No. So again, so now if we summarize it, right? People misunderstand this. Shoftim starts off with terrible cycle. Then, by Yiftach, gets worse. We have a few shoftim that seem to not have been appointed by God the way the other ones were. And they're like, kacha kacha, right? Yiftach carries out a civil war. Shimshon intermarries twice, you know. Then we get a idolatrous temple plus civil war for who gets to run the idolatrous temple. And then we get a full-out civil war where we annihilate Binyamin, and then the saver ends.
No.
Ephraim, Binyamin, I'm going back. I'm just telling you now the trajectory.
You start with the end.
Yeah, I jumped to the end. Right, we get to the civil war with Binyamin, which, like I said, it's a civil war that was started because Binyamin thought it was a good idea to gang rape someone's wife, right? Like,
yeah,
I don't understand.
Concubine,
I'm sorry, right? It's and then the husband, who's this savory character, thought it was a good idea to cut his concubine up and mail her to the whole country. And then when they... Whoa! And then they finally finish... They finally beat Binyamin, right? And then they realize that they didn't leave wives for them, so their solution is to murder more people, right? Massacre more people, right? Like, it's the book ends with a disaster. And then, what is... And here's where we go from there to Shmuel, right? Many times in these last brachim, and this is the last theme of Shoftim, the Torah tells you, why is this all happening? Mati.
He gave up on the Torah.
Look, for example, Perek Yotet, Pasuk Aleph. Yes.
There's no king.
The problem is, because there is no king, and therefore there is chaos. There is chaos. And then the last pasuk in the whole book, if you don't get the point yet of Shoftim, is the last pasuk in all of Shoftim is Bayamim Ohem Ein Melech Yisrael Ish Hayashar Beinav Yaseh. There was no king, so everyone did whatever the heck they wanted. Right? So Shoftim, Yoshua is idyllic. Shoftim is a disaster that only gets worse. But what's the parting message of Shoftim? That what is the solution? Yes, is a king. Is a strong central government, right? If you ever, if anyone knows American history, what was the moment at which this happened in America? No, not the Articles of Confederation. That was the disaster. The Articles of Confederation is Shoftim. What is the moment? What is the end of Shoftim equivalent to?
The
Federalist Papers, right? It's a justification of why this is a bad idea. Let's move to a centralized government. So Shoftim's parting message is the solution is move to centralized government. And that with that, Shoftim ends and we open with, surprise, surprise, Shmuel, which is the book where
we get a
king.
So
yay!
Not a good king.
Kind of sporadic.